Brett. Good morning.
Whoa.
Wow. Okay, repeat after me. Lord, we're your children, and we are desperate to hear from you. So speak to us right now. Amen. Awesome. Okay. So when I became a Young Life leader many years ago, not when I was on staff, but when I first became a Young Life leader, I was drawn in by the wonder of God. And I don't know if that's how it was for you, but Young Life Camp and seeing a life change, or, you know, as I became a Young Life leader, giving talks and speaking about the cross, even though I was terrified and wanted to, like, throw up, you know, right before I gave a talk, I was amazed by how I could hear a pin drop when I was speaking about the cross, and just, like, the magnitude of that, I was drawn in by the wonder of God. But as my time as a leader, and then eventually on staff, passed, things kind of started to change. The moments of victory were definitely there, and wonder, of course, was still there, but there was also a lot of hardship. Watching kids I had hoped and prayed for turn away from God over and over and over again. Walking with people through burdens, sickness, alcoholism, family problems, abuse, even death. And then, of course, there were my own shortcomings that were sometimes the most crippling. My own mistakes and battling my own selfishness and my own insecurities as a leader and as a staff person. And the painful accusations from the evil one that I was never doing enough. I feel like that's the most common lie I hear as a minister, as a volunteer Young Life leader, and as a staff person, is Satan saying, you're just not really enough. You're not doing enough. You're not good enough. You don't know the Bible well enough. And so these accusations were there. And so there's this tension of celebration and discouragement. And I don't just mean as a Young Life leader. I mean in the Christian life, right? Celebration, discouragement, courage and hiding, joy and pain, knowing what we want to do and not always doing it, right? And this tension is a great mystery, because what we're talking about is the kingdom of God and how the kingdom is working itself out in the world. And my hope is that as we discuss the kingdom of God this morning, that we'll reach a fuller understanding of why we see so much of the kingdom advancing in our lives and in other people's lives, but also so much sin and darkness and Satan and suffering in our own lives and in the world around us. So let's talk about it. Okay, so the Bible says that the kingdom of God comes in two stages, okay? And I am many things. One is a gifted artist, and I've drawn this slide for you. Parker's going to pull it up. Try to hold your applause. This is not it. Hold on. Wait for it. Oh, I made this. We're going to watch this video again. I'm just kidding. This I drew for you guys. I know. I can give you copies later. So there are two stages of the kingdom, okay? And the Bible says that the first time the kingdom comes, stage one, is Jesus, the cross, see it? So Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection, the kingdom comes. And when Jesus is on earth, he clarifies some things about the kingdom. He says this in Luke 17, says this, being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, Jesus answered them, the kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. And so Jesus says that the kingdom of God is coming very differently than you imagined. That's what he's saying to these people. And specifically, to the disciples, he's saying, you know, it's not going to be like a military invasion. It's not going to be like a political kingdom that comes and just like crushes the Romans. and Israel, like, is victorious. He's like, that's not it. But in many other ways, it was not what they imagined either. Not just that, but Jesus coming and living and dying and resurrecting, that wasn't really what they planned. That wasn't how they thought it would go. When I was a Young Life leader, I was at Westwood. Go Wood. Westwood. That's right. Westwood. And I went to camp, took girls to camp for the first time. And this is a very seemingly insignificant moment, in it, you would think, but it was very significant for me. I took girls to camp, and we get there, and I had, like, carefully packed, you know, as most females, you know, do, and carefully packed my, you know, my wardrobe, and, you know, for the temperatures, and all the different things we were going to do and everything. And you know, for my own sake and comfort, but also, if we're being honest, like, probably to, you know, win over some high school girls a little bit, right? So that I looked somewhat presentable, like, I'm trying to get them to like me. And so, anyway, so we get there, and classic, right? I mean, get there, and my girl didn't bring a jacket, and it's Colorado. And so, you know, I give her my jacket. Her name was Carol. I can envision it was an orange fleece. Yeah, that dates me, you know, orange, okay, fleece. Yeah, so I give it to her, and not just give it to her for the week, but I felt like God was saying, I think you should just give it to her, like, just let her have it. And she wasn't, you know, she was middle class, she could definitely afford a jacket, but I listened to God, and I give it to her, and for whatever reason, that moment sticks out in my mind as kind of the moment that I started to realize that God's kingdom was not what I thought. You know, it wasn't, I'm going to present myself really well, and I'm going to look really good and have all the right answers, and then, you know, my girls are going to like me, and they're going to find Jesus. It was more like, no, you're going to give something away, and that's how I'm going to work in you right now. And I started to see this upside-down kingdom that Jesus has. And like I said, a fairly insignificant moment that was significant to me. But the kingdom was not what I imagined, because you see, in God's economy, if you want to go up, you have to go down. It's the opposite. The last shall be first, the first shall be last. If you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. Greatest in the kingdom of heaven, who is it? The disciples ask Jesus. And he says, look at this child, the lowest position. This is who you have to become. You have to become low. You have to go down if you want to go up. That's how God's economy works. And so Jesus is teaching about this upside down kingdom, and that it's way, way different than they imagined. Okay, so, you know, there it is. Part one, upside down kingdom, different than they imagined. So Jesus also clarifies this about the kingdom. He says, the kingdom is not going to be obvious to everyone. It's not going to be obvious. In Matthew 13, it says this. This is an incredible verse. It says, he put another parable before them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. And see, as a lot of us know, right, because we think of faith of a mustard seed is the smallest of all agricultural seeds in Palestine. And this is how the kingdom of God first comes, okay? This is how the kingdom of God first comes in part one. It comes small, seemingly insignificant, okay? Another story, when I was, when I decided I want to be a Young Life leader, I was a junior at UT, and they didn't, you know, training was kind of bootleg at the time, and so I went through this short training, and then got placed on this team, not at placement night, just, you know, hey, you're going to be on Westwood now. I was like, awesome, okay. And I go to Trudy's by UT campus, and something seemingly insignificant, just a normal day, happened, but became one of the most significant moments of my life at Trudy's by campus. And that is that I was going to meet my team leader. And I get there, and my team leader is Mike Anderson, my future husband. Of course, I didn't know that or say that to him, right? Are you my future husband? No? Okay. But I met him, Thought he was great, didn't think much of it. But that moment, I can look back at that moment and I had no clue. It was insignificant to me. Thought he was a nice guy, didn't think much of it. And it was, that person would end up being my husband, the father of my children, the most influential person in my entire life, by far. And I had no clue. Such significance in this insignificant moment. And that's how the kingdom comes first. It's hidden. And what I mean by that is that Jesus comes as what? A baby. A baby born in Bethlehem. And he grows to be one Jewish teacher who recruits 12 unimpressive individuals and lots of scared and imperfect people. And who would have guessed that's how the kingdom would come? A mustard seed? Really? A mustard seed. And so it comes quiet. The kingdom comes quietly to earth. Phase one, okay? This is in Matthew 9. It says this: Then the disciples of John came to him saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the wedding guest mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast." And so the last thing Jesus says about the kingdom is this, is that although it's small and seemingly insignificant, and it just kind of creeps in, that Jesus says, it is in fact here, though. Because what is the most important thing about a kingdom? Do you know what it is? The king. The king. And the king is surely here. Jesus comes, right? And so Jesus comes, and he says, this is not a time to mourn. He says, guys, don't cry now, cry later when I'm gone, but don't cry now because I'm here. The king is here on earth. So that's the first stage. And then the second stage, the second time the kingdom will come, is when Jesus returns to claim what is rightfully his, okay? In Daniel 7, it says this, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed." And so this kingdom has begun with Jesus coming and living and dying and resurrecting. But the kingdom will come to completion when he comes back. See him on the clouds? Perfect rendition right there. His crown. And Jesus will come with divine authority to judge and rule and renew the world. Revelation 19 is incredible. Listen to this. "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." And so Jesus will come back. And did you catch it? Did you listen to all those things? Jesus is going to come strong, okay? He's coming back strong. It says, a white horse, eyes of fire, many diadems, which just basically means like crowns, jeweled crowns. And he will be called Faithful and True. But he also has a name that no one will know, only him. And his robe is dipped in the blood of his enemies. That's what it says. Also, he's called the Word of God, which is a name his father gave him. And his mouth is a sharp sword, and the armies of heaven in white, pure linen are following him on their horses. And on his leg is a thigh tattoo that says, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What? I mean, Jesus is coming back as a bad mother.
That's what that says. And I mean, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. What? And here, listen, Jesus came the first time, fairly imperceptible, a mustard seed. Small and seemingly insignificant, but the second time he comes, it will be spectacular. It will be a spectacle. No one will miss him. The kingdom will be a huge and mighty tree, like that verse said, that it started as a seed, but it'll be a tree that's obvious to everyone. And he will come back, and he will battle evil, and he will win, and his kingdom will be fully realized. And then he will reign on earth forever. So, kingdom comes first with Jesus, comes second. We're looking forward to that. And so here's the mystery of the kingdom and where we are right now, because with these two stages of the kingdom, the beginning of Jesus coming, and then the completion of him to come, comes two different ages, okay? So stay with me. So two different ages, and Parker, you can throw up my other masterpiece whenever you get a chance. So there is this age, which is full of sin and misery and Satan, and then there's the age to come, which is full of righteousness and peace and joy when Jesus comes back and everything is as it should be. And here's the mystery, that these two ages have intersected with the coming of Jesus, that with his death and his resurrection. And the age to come has begun because Jesus came. See the green? It started, but it's not fully realized. And here's another way to say it. We don't live in between two times, but in both times. We live in both of them right now. That we're living in a time where we have tasted the power of the age to come. We've tasted the kingdom. Everyone in this room has tasted the kingdom in some way. But we haven't yet experienced it fully. So I want to talk about what it's like to live in this kingdom that is already present but not yet fully realized. And I don't think this is going to be surprising to you guys. But here we go. We know that Christ already purchased our healing, but we still groan with sickness. We have already passed from death to life, but we still die and must watch others die. We already have the Holy Spirit inside us as a down payment of our future inheritance, but we battle our flesh daily. We have already been forgiven of all sin, but we must go on every day praying, "Forgive us our sins, Lord, as we forgive those who sin against us." We preach the gospel to many, but often fewer than we expect or hope respond. We are citizens of the kingdom of God, but for now must still submit in a way to the authorities of this world. And lastly, every blessing of the coming age is already ours in Christ, but God wills us for us to come into our inheritance patiently. And isn't this the essence of being a Young Life leader? When I was thinking about this, I was like, oh, this is being a leader. I mean, hands down. This is it. It's faith. It's believing while we only see in part. So much of leading is believing without seeing. Right? And on our good days, on our Holy Spirit-driven days, we are longing for the kingdom to come and defeat sin and death. And on our bad days, we're trying to control the kingdom. You know, we're trying to create fruit. We're trying to tame the Lion of Judah and fit him into our little, like, plans and ways. And we're so frustrated by it. It's just not going the way we want it. And here's my desire for you and for me, who are living in this present and future kingdom this morning, is that we would be encouraged in your suffering. And that we would be hopeful for both the present kingdom and an even greater, and now an even greater kingdom to come. So here's a few quick encouragements, okay? A few quick encouragements. And I will talk about how this is with being a leader. The kingdom really has arrived. It's here. The king has come. The king has dwelt with sin once for all in the sacrifice of himself. The king sits at the Father's right hand and reigns now until all his enemies are under his feet. The king's perfect righteousness is now already ours by faith. And spiritually, you have already arrived. I tell my small group girls that all the time. I say, stop striving. Stop striving. You've already arrived in Jesus. You've already got it. See, Jesus and our relationship with him, it's not a means to an end. It's not spend time with Jesus, pray to Jesus, so that I can have peace and joy and happiness and a husband and a wife and, you know, a career that I'm happy in and financial success and all of that. No, 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 no. Jesus is not the means to the end. He is the end. He's it. He is not the he is not the rainbow that leads to the pot of gold. He is the pot of gold. He's it. He is it. And you already have that. Not fully, like we said, obviously. But you have access to that and to a relationship with him. The King's Spirit is now already living in us. The King's holiness is now already being worked out in us. The King's joy and peace have now already been given to us. The King's victory over Satan is now already ours as we use the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. The King's power to preach the gospel is now already available to us. And finally, the King's gifts, the gifts of his Spirit, are now already available for us to do ministry. Because a part of living in this overlap of ages in both, is that we're given the honor. And this is what you're doing as leaders. You're given the honor of bringing the kingdom of heaven down to earth. That through the Holy Spirit, we get to show the world what the age to come is like. We get to show them what it's like. For example, if there's someone that is sick, and you lay hands on them and you pray for them, and you say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would heal this person. And they are healed. Theoretically, you could look at them and say, listen to me. This is what the kingdom of God is like. Because in the kingdom of God, there is no sickness and there is no dying. This is what the kingdom is like. And this is partially what Jesus meant when he said, on earth as it is in heaven. He's saying, bring heaven to earth. That's what we're praying. When you're praying for your kids, when you're praying for them to know Jesus, when you're praying for someone to be healed, when you're praying all these things, you're praying, bring heaven to earth. Come on, Lord. Bring heaven to earth. I want to see it. And I'm almost done. When you stand up and you preach, I know we don't really call it preaching in Young Life, but you're preaching the word of God to your kids. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, like I said, even though you just, you know, yak on the side stage, you're so nervous, but you get up and you talk about Jesus, and by God's grace, they understand. And one of your guys comes up to you at Wendy's and they're like, I want to talk about that. That made me think about this and this and this. That the kingdom of heaven is there. Or you take a step of faith, whatever that looks like. You know, when I was a leader at Westwood, and I don't know if y'all experienced this, but I would always get about maybe a mile from the school to do contact work. And I mean, Satan would just be like all over me like a wet blanket. It was like, I'm turning around. I'm going home. Like, no, no, not today. Not today. And when you take a step of faith and you walk in to that high school, the kingdom of heaven is there. Or you watch an unexplainable miracle happen and you praise God, the kingdom of heaven is there. Or you're praying as a team before club and you say, in the name of Jesus, Satan, get out of here. Get out of our club room. Get out of our team dynamics. Get out of here, Satan. We don't have time for you. This is not about you. This is about Jesus. And God moves, the kingdom of heaven is there. or you preach the gospel and a kid is saved, or you encourage a fellow leader to keep going. One of the most powerful things anyone ever said to me on Young Life staff, I'd been on Young Life staff for like 8 years already, and this woman said to me, "Don't give up. Don't stop. Keep going. Believe. Don't stop. Keep going." And you encourage one another and you feel encouraged. That's a miracle. That's the kingdom. Or you forgive a friend or a roommate or a teammate and they forgive you. The kingdom of God is there. That's what the kingdom of God is like. Or you pick up the broom and you sweep the club room for the 10,000th time in order to make a path for the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is there. And you are showing the world what the kingdom of God is like. And that's my point. That's the whole point. And you're extending your hand and asking them, asking your kids, asking your roommates, asking your family to come join me. Join me in the kingdom. Even though we're not fully there yet, I can show you glimpses. I'm so thankful for y'all. What? Y'all are the heroes. Like, we're on staff, and I mean, we're getting paid minimally, but I mean, we're getting paid. And you guys are the heroes. You're the linchpin. You're the linchpin. You're the one Jesus is using every single day in the trenches. So if you'd never hear anyone say it, hear it from me, which I represent all of our staff. Thank you. Thank you for everything you have done that no one ever sees. But God sees. He sees you. He sees you being faithful. And not perfect, right? No one's perfect. But he sees you being faithful. And so hear me and our staff say thank you. Thank you, thank you. I'm going to pray for us, okay? Lord, thank you that you have come. And part one has happened in Jesus' name. Resurrected. And because of that, we get to experience what it's like living in a kingdom where you are king. Lord, I pray for those in this room that are discouraged and suffering, that you would encourage them right now in the Holy Spirit, that you would encourage them. And I pray that they would hear that, that they would hear that you see them and that you love them. And you're saying, well done, well done. And we love you, Jesus. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.